Psalm 55, I want to begin reading tonight in verse number 16. Psalm 55, verse 16. David is our writer under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And the scripture says in verse 16, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me." Verse 22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." Father, I thank you tonight for the word of God, and I thank you for the teaching about prayer. And many throughout the word of God were men and women of prayer. And Father, we confess to you how little that we pray, how little we use the opportunity to come before God. And I pray, Father, you'd help us, Lord. You'd forgive us, God. And you'd help us, Lord, to have a desire and a burden to pray and seek your face more. Lord, we ought to pray always. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you'd help us tonight, God, as we try to preach your word about prayer. That, God, you might empty us of ourselves and cleanse us from our sins. And, God, that you might fill us with the Spirit of God and help us to declare what thus saith the Lord. God, would you help us tonight? Lord, I believe that tonight there's a prayer request that someone is making that you're going to answer this evening. And God, I believe that with all my heart, or I'd not spend my time praying. Lord, I love you and I thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing this evening. You may be seated. I want to think about prayer for just a minute. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, what does he say? "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And there's been times that I took hold of that verse, and the Lord showed me great and mighty, I mean lofty things. There's been times when I've claimed that verse, and he took me lower than I ever thought I could go. We never think about it that way. And in the depths of a valley low, he showed me great and mighty things which I would have never known. How good our shepherd is, how great and how mighty he is, whether you're on a mountaintop or whether you're in the valley low, what a great and a mighty God that he is. Now, our responsibility then is to pray. And God has promised that he would hear us. David even said, "I will call upon the Lord. He will save me. Evening, morning, and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Not only will he hear us, but Jeremiah says he will answer us. And we must learn to leave the answers up to the Lord. Have you ever prayed and tried to answer your own prayer? Tried to adjust yourself or your position to try to help the Lord out? Doesn't work very well, does it? You got to understand that his answer is better than the answer that any man could ever provide for you. Our responsibility is to ask, right? Ask, seek, and knock. A-S-K. Our responsibility is to ask. His responsibility is to act. Preacher R.G. Lee said this of prayer, and I quote, "To take prayer out of life is like taking heat out of fire, melody out of music, numbers out of mathematics, fact out of history, fiction out of literature, brains out of the skull and expecting intelligence, blood out of the body and expecting health." Now, there are many different ways that the Lord will answer our prayers, but I feel very strongly tonight that the Lord wants me to preach this one first. God's answer is a definite yes. Amen. I'm glad when we go to the Lord, there are times when he says yes. When he answers our prayers, and usually He'll go beyond what we pray for and give us even greater than we could have ever asked. Isn't our God great? Now we see an example of this many times in the scripture, but I want to pick one in 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. And I want to begin reading in the first verse of this great chapter in 1 Chronicles, Old Testament, chapter number 4. We're preaching about when God gives a definite yes. That ought to excite your soul tonight when God says yes. The Bible says the sons of Judah, Perez, Hezron, and Carmi, and Hur, and Shobal, and Reiah, the son of Shobal, begot Jahath, and Jahath begot Ahumai and Laad. These are the families of the Zorathites, verse 3. These were of the father of Etam, Jezreel, and Ishma, and Idbash, and the name of their sister was Hazelelponai, and Penuel, the father of Gedor, and Ezer, the father of Husha. These are the sons of Hur, the firstborn of Ephratah, the father of Bethlehem. And Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Naara. And Naara bare him Ahuzam and Hefer, and Taminai and Hehashtari. These were the sons of Naara. And the sons of Hela were Zereth and Jezoar and Ethnan. And Koz begot Anub and Zobibah, and the families of Aharel, the sons of Haram. Now, I know many of y'all could have quoted that, but I wanted to read it to you tonight because I couldn't remember all that. But verse 9 says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. You see, God said to Jabez, yes. He granted that which he requested, and then some. And you go back to verse 11, these generations just continue on going. It's amazing that in the middle of these chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, all these names and generations and posterity and ancestry, and we come to verse number 9 and 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. A couple of things we need to look at tonight about where God says yes. Number one, we see Jabez's rising burdens. His mother named him Jabez. You know what the name Jabez means? He will cause pain. His mom gave him a name that said, this boy's life will produce pain. Now, maybe she gave him that name because you went through the painful time of travail. Maybe she had great pain and great sickness and great problems and heartaches in delivering this child, and she named him Jabez. He's going to have to bear this name for the rest of his life. He will cause pain. I'm sure he was ridiculed for his name's sake. I'm sure he was laughed at. I'm sure he was the punchline of many a joke. I'm sure that this name for him in his life was probably a problem. There's some of us that have problems that we face, whether it be finances, whether it be health. We have difficulties in the circumstances of life, and we struggle along, and we cannot escape who we are. We cannot escape the problems that we face. I'm sure tonight some of you probably wish God would just snap his fingers and it'd just all go away and everything would completely flip. And he could do that and then some if he wanted to. But we have to understand, first of all, in our humanity, we have problems. I have a sin nature. I'm saved, but my body has a sin nature. And something, Jabez's name is a painful name, but something, verse number 10, caused him to call on the God of Israel. Something drove him to the Lord, to the Word of God. That's interesting. Maybe it was his problems. Maybe it was his pain. Maybe it was his predicament that drove him to the Word of God. Now, I'm thinking about the God of Israel, and I'm putting up my fingers to quote Israel. interesting that he's calling on the God of Israel. Israel had a name change. Israel's name formerly was Jacob. In fact, I want to go back and look at that name in Genesis chapter 25. Would you turn there with me? Genesis chapter 25, we see that their mother is giving birth. Genesis chapter 25. Rebekah's the mother. And verse 20, chapter 25, verse 25, the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. Now, what does the name Jacob mean? It means heel catcher. That's what his name means. Supplanter. He's trying to catch hold of his brother's heel and pull him out of the way so he can take his place. He is a cheat. He is a deceiver. Jacob doesn't have a good name. I would remind you that when you were born in the flesh, it may have gave you some great name, but you're dead in trespasses and sins. And Jacob, being a heel catcher, he lived up to his name. We see that he tried to trick his father and did out of the birthright. Remember, his mother said, we're going to go take a kid out of the goats and kill it, and we're going to put the hairy skin on your forearms, and so you'll deceive your father out of the blessing of the oldest child. And when he came to his father and his father's eyes were dim, he said, who art thou, my son? He said, I'm Esau. But he's really Jacob, a cheater, a heel catcher, a supplanter. And his father said, come closer, my son. He said, your voice sounds like Jacob, but he felt of his arms. He said, oh, but you've got that hairy forearms like Esau would have. So he gave the blessing to Jacob. That's why you don't go on feelings. Feelings will deceive you. Amen. And you can see Jacob. I mean, I can pick many places where Jacob cheated his way. And finally, we know that there was a night in the Bible in Genesis chapter 32. Jacob had to go on the run. Turn there with me. Genesis chapter 32. And in verse number 24, Jacob has gone on the run. He fell in love with one girl, and he made a deal that if he would work for 7 years, he'd get her. And he got cheated and got the wrong girl. You remember that whole story? And he ended up with two wives now. Okay, remember the whole story? And now he's coming back home. He's got 12 boys and a daughter, and he's on his way home. Verse 24, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him under the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. That same Jacob that wouldn't let go of Esau's heel has now caught a hold of one that he's been wrestling with. One that he couldn't pin. One that he couldn't overcome. One that he couldn't cheat. One that he couldn't supplant. Who is that one? I believe it's a pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ that showed up there that night. And Jacob's wrestling. Preacher Darren, how do you know that? Because I've wrestled him too. And if the truth be known, you have wrestled with the Lord as well. When he spoke to you about salvation, you probably wrestled with him for a while. When he called you to preach, or when he called you to teach, or when he called you to leadership and the decisions to be made in your life, you've wrestled about testifying. You've wrestled about standing up and doing a certain thing. And I'm telling you something, honey, when you win, it doesn't turn out too right. You should have let the Lord have his way. Now look, the Bible says in verse 27, it's interesting. He said, the Lord said, what is thy name? Jacob's been asked that question before. His daddy, whose eyes were dim, said, what's thy name? He said, I'm Esau. Now he's asked that same question again. What is thy name? And this time he said, Jacob. I'm a heel catcher. I'm a deceiver. I'm a supplanter. I'm a cheater. I'm a con artist. Let me tell you something, honey. God will cause you to be confronted by your sins and who you really are, that you might confess the truth, that you might confess that you are a sinner. Amen. That you cannot overcome him. You cannot pin him. You cannot wrestle. You cannot have your way and win. He said, my name is Jacob. Verse 28. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Who changed his name? The Lord. Said, no longer will you be called deceiver and con artist. Now your name will be Israel. When Jabez called on the Lord, he wasn't just calling on the God of Jacob. He was calling on the God of Israel. He who changes who men are. He who saved my soul when I was dead in trespasses and sin and changed my world, amen. And now I'm called a child of God, an heir to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What an honor. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask my name? And he blessed him there. See, he didn't just change his name, but he blessed him beyond what he had even hoped for. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel and said, for I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. And he passed over Peniel. The sun rose upon him and he halted upon his thigh. What do you mean? Because of that, he had a new walk. Amen. Hallelujah. When I got saved, I'm no longer walking by sight. I'm walking by faith. He's changed my walk forever. Well, while I'm close, let's go ahead and read this out of Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter number 35. The Bible says that Jacob, verse 21, let's read verse 16. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. Remember, she had earlier, many years before, delivered a son, Joseph. Now she's delivering a son to Jacob. And it came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. Here is Jacob and Rachel. Rachel, the girl he loved, the girl he served 7 years for, but he got Leah. He had to serve 7 more years to get Rachel. And we know that Rachel had delivered one child. Now she's delivering a second child. And in her childbearing, in her sorrow, in her pain, as she's dying, she calls the child Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. This young man, as Rachel dies, the mother dies, is going to grow up without a mama. Just going to know his daddy and a stepmama, Leah, and that family that's always got some type of trouble going on. If you think your home is troubled, you have no idea what a troubled home is like until you look into Jacob's home and what's going on there. This young man's going to be raised up with a bad name. But read on. But his father called him Benjamin. Jacob said, I remember, young man, what it's like to be raised with a name that you cannot escape, with a name that embarrasses you, with a name that's problematic everywhere you go. I'm a heel catcher, I'm a deceiver and a supplanter, but God changed my name. And son, you're not going to be son of my sorrow, you're going to be Benjamin, son of my right hand. Woo-wee. Hallelujah. Now we see Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter number 4, calling on the God of Israel, the God that changed Jacob's name, the God that caused Jacob to be burdened for others and changed his own son Benoni's name to Benjamin. He said, I want to call on a God that's in the changing business. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight, youngins, that he's in the changing business? When you came to him as a sinner, he forgave you and saved your soul, and now you're a child of the King. Well, glory, hallelujah. I'm thinking that Jabez, in his mind, says, if God, he's heard that story, if God can change Jacob to Israel, surely he can change Jabez, which means
He shall cause pain into something that's a blessing. Surely tonight that in I come to the Lord with my difficulties, He can change my difficulty into a blessing. Surely if I come to Him with my hardship and my problems and my pressures and my stresses, He can give me peace and do something about what I face tonight. Hey, hallelujah. Jabez had some rising burdens that he comes to God with. Number two, I believe we see Jabez reaching belief because he called on the God of Israel. Somehow the word of God had reached Jabez and had encouraged him. He found out there's a God who can change things. He changed things. He's coming to God by faith. You know how you came to God? You came to Him by faith. You can't come to Him any other way. He won't be pleased with it. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Let me ask you tonight, who is it that you're asking for help? Are you asking the government? Are you asking the doctor? Are you asking the banking industry? Who is it tonight you're asking for help? Honey, you'd be wasting your time to call on anyone less than the God of all glory. He can change and do all things. In 1924 at the Dallas Theological Seminary, they're facing imminent bankruptcy. And the men of God at the school began to pray. And Dr. Ironside was over the entire school. And he prayed to God and he said, "Oh God, He that owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, would you sell some of those cattle and send the money to Dallas Theological Seminary?" And the men were praying there. And even told the secretary out front, "Don't bother us. We're praying that God would send a miracle." And a cattle rancher just down the road had brought hundreds of his livestock to Dallas to sell them. And he took the money that he sold, that he got from selling those cattle, to a business deal which promptly fell through. And leaving out of that lawyer's office, he's holding a check that he no longer needed. And he looked up just down the street and he saw Dallas Theological Seminary. And God led him to go across the street and knock on the door, and the secretary opened it, and he came in, he said, "The Lord told me to give this check," and he endorsed it over to Dallas Theological Seminary. And the secretary was so excited. And she went in there and began to bother those men who were praying. And they said, listen, we're praying. She said, "Listen, I need you to tell Dr. Ironside that God has just sent a check." And she gave the check to Dr. Lewis Schaefer Sperry. And he tapped Brother Ironside. He said, Brother Henry, get up." Brother Henry, well, he got up and he said, "God just sold some of them cattle on 1,000 hills, and here's the money." And the preacher went to shouting. Let me tell you something. We have a God that can change things immediately. Amen. I remember Brother Percy Ray said he had been praying. They were needing to dedicate a church. He would never dedicate a building unless it had been paid for completely. And he had built probably 12, 13, 14 churches, and the other one was some $1,000 short. And he was at some preacher's house, and he went in there and he began to pray. And he began to fast. He prayed for 7 days and 7 nights. And the preacher didn't even know what Brother Percy was praying about. He said he would go out and preach a meeting, the preacher would, and come back to the house. And Brother Percy's still over there praying. He said, "I'd go pray with him until I got tired, and I'd go back to the house." And he is out there at the barn, and he is wrestling and laying in the hay. And he said, "I never seen the like." He said, all of a sudden, Brother Percy got up after 7 days and said, "Woo, glory to God. God said yes. Go check the mailbox." And he said, "Well, what am I checking it for?" He said, "God said it. Go check." And he said, "I went out there to the mailbox, oh ye little faith, and I opened it, and there was a sack in there with a seagrass string around the top of it. Didn't have any name on it. Didn't have a stamp on it." And he just carried it back to where the brother Percy was. And he said, Here's what's in the mailbox. Obviously, the postman didn't bring it. It wasn't even having an address on it. He said, well, open it, see if it's all there. And he said, okay. He said, I pulled that string, it opened right up. And he said, I've never seen the like of money. He counted, there was $5,000. And Brother Percy shouted, that's exactly what we was needing. That's exactly what we was needing. God said yes. Well, hallelujah. Don't you like it when God says yes? Jabez, rising burdens, has turned into Jabez, reaching belief. You got to come to God by faith. He can do all things. Number three, Jabez now, as he calls on God, he begins to request blessings. Requesting blessings from the Lord. As I look through these previous three chapters and partial chapter four, there are over 500 names mentioned. Not one in connection to prayer. It's just as if, that these are good men, but it's just as if in their life they were consumed by goods, gold, or greed. But all of a sudden, in chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, we meet a man named Jabez who's consumed with God. And he didn't just talk about prayer. He prayed. He didn't just believe in prayer. He prayed. It's great for me to get up here and preach about prayer. It's great for you to believe in prayer. But honey, do you pray? Do I pray? I mean, we need to pray seriously. And we need to pray sincerely. And we need to pray specifically. If you want a specific answer, you need to pray a specific prayer. What is Jabez requesting from God? Preacher, I just don't believe in that. Well, Jabez believed. Look what he's... Just a couple of things he requested. First of all, he requested a greater place to serve in. He says, oh, verse 10, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Coast, that means territory, area, region. Now, Preacher Darren, I just don't think you do it like that. You got to understand what he means here. The only way that you can get more area, more property, more region to an Israelite, the only way you're going to get it is by taking it from the enemy. You see, because if you got more territory in Israel and you got it from this brother or this brother or this brother, in the year of Jubilee, you had to give it all back to them. And they got all their property back. So you wouldn't have gained a thing. The only way you can gain more territory is take it from your enemy. Now, he's not talking about physical property. He's not saying, I've got 2 acres, I want 5. He's talking about, I want a greater capacity in my soul to serve you with. Lord, I want you to enlarge my capacity to serve you. Preacher Darren, that's a weird prayer. I only have so much capacity. I only have so much ability. Hear me. He's not asking God to do anything more than, Lord, if I'm going to have greater capacity to serve you, it's got to start with less of me and more of you. You want more capacity to serve God? Less of you, more of Him. You want more capacity to serve God? Less of the world, more of Him. Oh, Preacher Darren, now you're starting to get a little too close to where I am tonight. He said, Lord, listen to this. Lord, I want you to bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. I want you to help me to have a greater influence. God, would you help Bethel to have a greater influence in the community and the world in which we live than we have right now? What's wrong with praying that prayer? He said, God, I want you to help me make more of an impact. I mean, the God that changed me can change other people. God, would you help Bethel not only to be a greater influence, but to make more of an impact than she's ever made before? Let's boil it on down to you individually. God, would you help me as a person, Jabez says. Would you help me as a person to have a greater influence for your glory and a greater impact than I've ever had before. Amen. Oh, Lord, I don't care how many souls you've already won for the Lord. I mean, he that winneth souls is wise, the Bible says. I don't care if you've won 1,000 or 77,000. I pray that God would give you a greater influence and impact to see even more one to Christ. That you would have a greater testimony and a greater witness than you've ever had before. Oh, that God would give me that desire, and that God would give me the belief and the faith that when I pray that, that God might hear my prayer. There may be a preacher tonight that's preaching, and you've got 23 or 17 or 230. And you say, I'm not satisfied. I want to ask God to send me more. God, would you save more souls? God, would you help our church? Would you help our family in the ministry? Would you help that Sunday school class, God? Would you help that Awana class, Lord? Would you touch this individual with a greater capacity to serve you than ever before? Well, Preacher Darren, I just don't understand. He's asking for a greater place to serve in. Well, Preacher, does that mean I have to leave Bethel? No, honey. Jabez didn't have to leave where he was for God to increase his coast and to bless him indeed. Amen. A greater capacity, a greater influence, a greater impact for him to serve in. He didn't just stop there. He went a little further and he said, and, there's a conjunction, and that thine hand might be with me. You know, he's asking for a greater power to serve with. He said, Lord, as you give me this greater place, as you give me this greater opportunity, this greater impact, Lord, I want your hand to be with me. I don't want to go it alone. God, if I'm going to go to a greater place, I will need a greater power. Lord, I need your hand. Nehemiah said, the good hand of my God was upon me. You know what? That's what you need tonight. You need the good hand of the Lord to be upon you. I think about Gideon, how the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Preacher Billy Sunday, this is what he said. I'm talking about a great preacher of the gospel. He said, Lord, I want to be a man of God. In many people's estimation, he was the greatest preacher living in his day. And he said, God, I want to be a man of God. In other words, I've not arrived yet. Lord, if I'm going to serve you, I need your hand. I need your power upon my life. Spurgeon said, the world has not yet seen what God could do with a man that was totally surrendered to him. What a statement. I think about maybe little children sometimes as they're learning to walk. And I think about Luke and Shelby as I had them there at home, and they're just kind of learning to walk and get a little stronger every day, and how I'd put my hand on their hand and I'd lead them to a greater place and bigger opportunities. And as I did that, there came a point, are y'all looking at me? There came a point in time that my little boy and my little girl said, no, Daddy, I do it myself. None of y'all ever had that problem. But mine had that problem. You know where they learned it? From their daddy. Because I did the same thing to my parents. Said, no, I'll do it myself. And I've done the same thing to God. No, I'll do it myself. Lord, I got this. Lord, you've given me a greater opportunity to make a greater influence and a greater impact. Well, here I go, Lord. I'll just get up and I'll just do it. Honey, you better have the hand of God on you like never before, or you're in danger tonight. Will you hear me for just a second? You may say, Preacher Darren, what are you thinking about? Listen, ask God to bless you and ask God to increase your impact and your influence. That's great. But make sure that you ask him to put your hand on you, to put his hand on you. You don't have to persuade him. You have to just permit him. Before God will work through you, he wants to work in you. Can I say that again? Preacher Darren, I want God to do a great work in my life. He will not do a work through you till he first has done a work in you. That's what has to be done. And Jabez, God is working in Jabez's life. And now Jabez is desiring that he works through him. What he's saying is, God, I don't want to go to a new place that you give me without new power. Oh, he keeps asking, look with me. And, there's the word and again, a conjunction. That thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. He's asking God to help keep him clean, pure, and holy. As he goes to a greater place with greater power, he's asking God for a greater protection. Will you hear me for just a second? I've found this to be so true in my walk with the Lord in the few years that I've walked with him. That for every new level that I've taken in my life, it started on the ground level, and then God said, I want you to step up, and I want you to step up. And as I have, this is what I found. The Lord was with me every step of the way. He said, Lord, I want you to be with me, and I want you to protect me. I want you to keep me from evil, that it doesn't grieve me. But I know that for every new level, there's a brand new devil. You're going to face greater worldly and evil influences as you go to a greater place. That's shouting ground, going to a greater place and greater power with God. How exciting! But honey, the devil will put you on his radar and he will target your life. And as he does, you're going to need God to protect you and to take care of you. And oftentimes we pray, oh God, will you forgive me? But hey, today we need to learn to pray, oh God, will you deliver me? I was driving today, Gene and I on the road, and I came up beside a specific truck, and this was the motto on the truck, and I noticed it on the back, I noticed it on the side, and I noticed it on the cab, and it stuck with me all day long. I won't call the name of the company, but I'll just give their motto: we deliver. We deliver. You know who delivers? God delivers. He has never failed to deliver. He's always on time. And when you're in a fight, when you're in a battle with the enemy, the only way you're going to win it is by the hand of God being upon you. That's the only way. Now, fourthly, and I'm done. Look at Jabez being rewarded bountifully. The Bible says, and God granted him that which he requested. God said yes. Three things. God heard his prayer. He heard Jabez, and God granted to Jabez that which he prayed. Not only did God hear, but God honored. He said yes to him. You know what the word grant means? It means to step into. What are you saying? Jabez has a prayer asking God to do something, and God just steps into his prayer life and says yes, 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 and then some to all those requests. Well, I say thank God for that tonight, amen. God just stepped into his prayer life. If we will honor God, God will honor us. Hey, church, when was the last time God just stepped into your prayer request? When was the last time God just granted that which you're praying about? He has an answer of yes for you tonight. May I say something here? Here's Jabez praying, God, that you'd bless me indeed, that you'd enlarge my coast, and your hand would be with me, and that you'd protect me from all the evil that comes against me. I just want you to think for something. Here's a boy whose name means he will cause pain, who has absolutely nothing, who calls on the God of glory, and God changes everything for him. I'm going to go back to chapter 2, verse 55. Turn there with me. Chapter 2, 1 Chronicles. We're going through the genealogies and the ancestries, and we're talking about priests and scribes and leadership and all of Israel and people's names everywhere. Look at this. 1 Chronicles 2:55. And the families of the scribes. Who are the scribes? They're the ones that record the word of God. And they reveal the word of God to kings. Every king would have his own copy. How'd he get it? A scribe pinned it all down. Copied it word for word for word. Every time he wrote the word God, he would go wash his hands before he wrote it. And after he finished writing it, he'd go back and write it again. Think about that the next time you're preparing your notes or you're writing something down. And you'd wash your hands before you write the name God. And after you write it, you wash your hands again. That's how these scribes behave themselves. The Bible says the families of the scribes which dwelt at where? Jabez. When the scribes of God are looking for a blessed place to dwell, they dwelled at Jabez. A boy that had podunk nothing, God blessed him so much that he named a whole region, a whole territory after Jabez himself. I think that's pretty important. What does that mean? That means that God can take your disadvantages. Tonight, you look at your life and you think about, oh, we don't have any money and we don't have any power and we don't have any prestige and we're limited in our capacity. We have so many disadvantages. God will take your disadvantage and turn it to his advantage. God will take your disability and show you his ability. The handicaps in your life need not hurt you, hinder you, or harm you from making spiritual progress with God. Jabez's bad name did not hinder him from making progress with God and God blessing his life. Let me give you an illustration and I'm done. In history, there's an African-American girl by the name of Wilma Rudolph. She was born into a home of 22 children. She was number 20. She weighed 4 pounds and 8 ounces. Just a little old bitty thing that didn't even think was going to survive. At the age of 4, she developed polio. She lost the use of her left leg. Now, she's crippled. Because of the weakness in her body, she got severe pneumonia and almost died. Because of the weakness in her body, she got scarlet fever and almost died. But her mommy, she prayed for that girl. And at least once every week, she would put her on the bus. We're talking about a day of segregation. She'd put her on the bus and she'd take her to a big city where they'd do therapy with her. And then she'd come back home and members of the family was always working on her leg, massaging on her leg, and they were praying that God would do something. By the time she was in high school, her leg began to regain some ability. And she scored over 30 points a game in basketball for an entire year. Wow. She went to the Olympics. And in 1960, she won the Olympic gold in the 100 meter. She won the Olympic gold in the 200 meter. And she helped her team win the gold in the 4x100 relay race. She won 3 gold medals in 1960 in Rome, Italy. A girl that was a cripple. A girl they said would never make it. A girl they gave up on. In 1960, they said, she's the fastest woman on the planet. How do you think that happened? Because the God of glory heard a praying mama and rewarded her, and look what she did for the glory of God. Now, I want to tell you something tonight. Don't tell me that you're a spiritual cripple. Don't tell me about your reasons and your disadvantages and your hardships that are hindering you from going forward with Jesus. If there's anybody tonight, you sit here and you have any doubt or any reason or any disadvantage or any disability that say, well, God can't help me because. Tonight, I just want to take time out and say, you're so wrong. Tonight, God said, you go tell that church that I'm saying yes. What is it that you're praying about? What is it that you need? What is it that you so desire and you so want? Not greed or something that would be consumed upon your lust, but something that God could do in your life for his glory. God said, yes. So I would be foolish tonight to leave this place and not open this altar and give an invitation. Because there's probably somebody here that says, man, I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity to call on God. And I'm going to trust him and I'm going to believe him, and I want God to help me influence and impact this world for his glory. You'll stand to your feet tonight. What is it that you need to do? Would you come now? Tell you something. God's opened this opportunity for you and you don't mind him, then it's your own fault for what you have to suffer through. It's your own fault for what you have to deal with. If you're watching at home now and God has given you a golden opportunity, if you don't get up off your couch and bow your head and lower your heart down before him and say, "Oh God, would you help me right now?" God wants to do a work tonight. And I believe him, friend. Father, I've saw your handiwork in our lives just this week. Lord, I've seen you do the impossible over and over again. And tonight, Lord, I want to say I believe you. Oh God, we're calling upon the God of Israel, the God that changes men's lives for the betterment. Oh God, tonight that thou wouldst bless me indeed. God, that you would enlarge my coast for your glory. God, that you might help us to reach into regions that we've never reached. That God, we might make an impact and an influence for the cause of Christ where we've never been before. That God, you'd help us. You said, "Call upon me and I will answer thee. And Lord, I will show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not." God, we're believing you tonight that God, you would increase that impact and that influence and that capacity, Lord, that I might serve you with a greater, more capacity in my heart, God, to love you more and the things of God more. And God, I don't want to stop there, but God, I want to know that your hand's going to be upon me as I go to this higher place, this greater place, this deeper place in my life. God, I want you to go with me. If you don't go with me, I don't want to go. Lord, would you bless me, God, with your hand upon me. Your hand upon me as I preach. Your hand upon me as I serve. Your hand upon me as I walk and as I live and as I breathe. God, I desire the good hand of my God to be upon me, Lord. And God, that you would protect me and keep me from evil. God, keep me clean. My motives clean. My heart clean. God, I know I'll never be perfect, but Lord, I wouldn't want to hide things from you. And I wouldn't want to try to defraud or deceive, God. But Lord, God, that you would help me, Lord, in my life. That God, as I go with this greater influence, and God, as you give me this greater place with greater power, and God, you'd give us greater protection. Because there's a new devil out there with more power. God, I pray you help us, God. And God, for what's accomplished, God, here in my life, and God, for this church, and for the school here at Bethel, God, would you grow it for your glory? God, would you touch the church at Bethel? Would you help us, God, to grow? Would you save souls, Lord? God, would you give us the increase for your glory? God, not that we would get puffed up, but God, that we could say, "Look what God has done," that we might honor you and praise you and glorify you. God, would you touch the school? God, would you help righteousness to stand? And God, where there's wickedness and false pretense and ulterior motives, God, would you throw those things to the ground, God? Would you give us a staff wholly dedicated to serve you, God? Would you give us men and women at Bethel and at Bethel Christian Academy, Lord, that are hungry, people that are hurting, that want to serve God, people that feel like they're crippled, people that feel like they're disadvantaged, people that feel like they're disabled, God? Would you enable them, God? Would you equip them, God? Would you make them overcomers more than conquerors, Lord, for the cause of Christ? God, for this I give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.